coming up first in this half, another great friend of your stories, Mr. Andrew Bentley.
I eventually do most of the things I intend to do, just rarely on the schedule I intend them. False starts, delays, and compromise are, at this point, SOP for most of my serious endeavors. I have yet to book a flight for Christmas. I wrote this essay in the hours immediately preceding the show, and unless Ed Harris's character from The Truman Show has really stepped up his game, I do not currently reside in the city of Los Angeles. I have to admit that the prevarication and procrastination to which I so often find myself succumbing bother me. There's nothing embarrassing in quite the same way as telling someone with all belief that you're going to do a thing, then not doing the thing at all, or at least not until after everyone started wondering why you didn't do the thing. Because, I mean, it's not like it even mattered that you do the thing, but it's weird you made it up. Like, the thing was a weird thing to lie about, you know? If you just kept your mouth shut, you could have done the thing on your own time. So don't you feel silly. In fact, giving up, or at least concealing intention, is a good idea in an extraordinary number of circumstances. If I can switch gears, I'd like to talk about World War II for a moment. Actually, I'd like to talk about World War II for a very long time, but it's socially acceptable that I talk about World War II for a minute. In 1942, the Soviets deployed dogs as suicide bombers against the Germans. The dogs were strapped with explosives designed to detonate as they leapt beneath enemy tanks, destroying machine and animal simultaneously. The Soviet mistake was in forgetting that canines operate primarily on their sense of smell. They had trained the dogs by hiding their food under running tanks, but they neglected to consider that they used diesel as fuel, while the Germans used gasoline. Although the dogs were released into the face of oncoming panzers, they ran instead back to the Russian lines, diving into trenches and underneath the familiar-smelling Soviet tanks, destroying them instead. If you're like me, but, you know, we're stressed, you find that to be a satisfying, if somewhat macabre, anecdote. But why? The dogs died, people died, but somehow we're rooting for, or at least with, the Nazis. In a vacuum, assuming those dogs would still die, most people would say they'd rather X number of Nazis die than X numbers of the increasingly desperate Red Army. But the pragmatic logistics of the scenario were trumped, emotionally, by the Russians' intent to harm the dogs. I've missed like five of those, I'm so sorry. This pattern plays out time and time again. We partition our murders first degree to manslaughter. That is to say, in many states, the difference between jail time and death comes down not to the act, but to the intent. People hate intent. Bad intent gives you Aqualung Sunday constitutional, while good intentions, well, that's just tarmac for the Infernal Expressway. If we simplify all human actions down to a Punnett square of results and intent, there are four possibilities. Because it's a Punnett square. But there are four possibilities. Good, good, bad, 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 and bad, good. The first case, good results and good intent, is kind of our default. If someone gives to a charity or adopts a child, you don't assume they had something evil in mind unless you're an asshole. By explaining their intentions, the only change they can make in their perception is to slide down into the second square. This and the third square are our incompetence, people who tried for one thing and got another. No one wants to be one of those. Those are your cartoon villains and your cartoon sidekicks. You want to be competently good or, at the very least, competently bad. And those are always the initial assumptions. In short, introducing intent just adds the possibility of making yourself look stupid. People will rally behind a politician who poses the most regressive and damaging policies until they find out it was just someone bad at math and trying their best. In short, results good, trying bad. However, there are two groups of people who make up the exception, whom we give credit just for trying and for whom we ascribe value just for effort. The first are children. That's obvious. We've all seen a Little League game. The second is your friend who smokes too much pot. Once you've got that reputation locked down, no one is going to hold you accountable for anything you say you're going to do ever again. And no one will hate you for it. Form a band, lose weight, kill the president, we'll believe it when we see it. It's glorious. You can miss shows, parties, hell, as long as you're not one of two very specific people, you can miss weddings, scot-free. You can blow off anything. There's an entire ironic anthem about it, and as your garden variety non-toking procrastinator, I am disgusted. No one extends the same courtesy to drunks. It seems intentional somehow. Whereas with Smokey Joe, people act like he was on his way to work in a YouTube playlist of that's illegible. I'm sorry. Let's say cat videos. A YouTube playlist of cat videos just T-boned him at the intersection. And procrastinators, forget about it. Where's our anthem? Where's the Afro man of writers who have gotten really, really good at spider solitaire? George R. R. Martin, I don't accept that. Guns N' Roses, I'd rather die. No. It's my sober lot to put my money where my mouth is, which most of the time means it's better to keep both locked up. If I can, I'd like to dip one more finger in the World War II pool. I understand if it's too much. World War II is like scotch or the anus. The difference of a single finger can change your night completely. But I'll leave you with this. In 1929, Hitler said, "If I'd ever known I would become Reich Chancellor, I'd never have written that book." Sometimes it's a good thing to give yourself a little accountability. Sometimes, not so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. You are so well-dressed. Andrew, you and I are friends. We agree on a lot of music, but I don't know if I've ever told you this. I'm going to confess this right now to the world. I actually think Chinese Democracy is half of a good album. I'm sorry. It's like twice too long as it should be, but there's some all right songs in there, guys. You just got to give Axel a break, okay? Just give him a break.